Thank you, Jesse. Turn to the passage for we're going to look at today for a few minutes, Luke 14. So much of our lives is full of food and dinners and banquets and parties and celebrations. I was at three parties yesterday. I'm going to two parties today. I had a party on Wednesday, my mother's birthday. And over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at this idea of hospitality, parties and dinners and banquets and feasts. And when you have that on your mind, you know, I don't know if this has happened to you just because I've had it on my mind because I'm doing all this each week. It's so much, you're tripping over these moments where in your whole life where it's, you know, we're eating again. I mean, you know, yesterday I had three things and that were different, that were all like, I said three parties yesterday and they were all like not including the meals that I normally would eat. You know, so I, you know, have regular meals, but then I had an extra thing with my dad in the morning with a bunch of men things that he was doing, and then afternoon, and then the graduation thing, and all we did was there's just so much food, and you almost get weary of the partying. But it's all over the scriptures. You know, when you read the scriptures through that lens, there's just so much of it happening constantly in, you know, a lot of the stories throughout the whole Bible, but especially in the life of Jesus, there is just a lot of dinners and parties and occasions and banquets and feasts and I don't think that's random. I think that's number one, a reflection of life, but it's also the authors of Scripture and Jesus himself, we're going to talk about this, were particular about that. There's method to the madness, as it were. Look at Luke 14. We're going to see such a situation. You can follow along or on your device or whatever you have to follow today. Luke 14, start at verse 1. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched, and there in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. And Jesus asked the Pharisees and the experts of the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent, so taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, if one of you has a child or an ox and falls into a well on the Sabbath, will you not immediately pull it out? And they had nothing to say. And when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. Hey, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. And if so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. And then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. And then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who are humble themselves will be exalted. And then Jesus said to his hosts, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your sisters or your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is he who will eat and feast in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. And another said, I have just bought five yoke of oxen and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. And still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master, and then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town, and bring in the poor, the wicked, or the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. And then the master told his servant, go out into the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are and who were invited will get to taste of my banquet. This is God's word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us today. I pray that you would teach us from your word. Teach us, show us yourself. Show us the nature of your kingdom. Show us the character of your nature. Show us the beauty of your grace, and fill us, change us by your grace through faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I happened to be watching an interview this morning on the news as I was completing, you know, getting ready to come here, and it was an interview with Ina Garten, also known as the Barefoot Contessa. She's a cooking hospitality, and cooking and hospitality are all over media. And I mean, there's like channels and stuff that you can follow with this whole thing. And I follow a couple of things like that. But they were Willie Geist asked her if you could have your most ideal dinner party, who would you invite? And they were both sort of answering back and forth who they would invite. And she's like, well, I'd invite. And there's a French chef that she would invite who's just very sort of, you know, brings a lot of skill and a lot of interest. And so when I've seen him interviewed too, I didn't remember his name. And then there was, he said, well, I'd invite, like, you know, to bring some energy and some sort of comedic repartee, you know, Martin Short, or something like that. And then they went back and forth. It made me think when you think about having the ideal dinner, what goes into that decision? The ideal party. Because often parties and gatherings are this place, you know, when you spend a minute and you linger on the idea of the parties that you have, you know, I was invited to 3 parties yesterday, and I'm invited to 2 parties today, and I thought, and you think to yourself, you know, it's gracious, it's wonderful, it's generous to be invited, because and to be included, because what you're doing is you're bringing someone from the outside in. Someone who isn't normally. Now, some of these parties, I go, you know, I'm invited to. I get invited to some parties, and I go, why in the world am I getting invited to this party? I mean, not that I'm not, you know, honored by it. I'm not grateful for it. It's not anything to do with that. It's just more that I'm like, if I were them, I wouldn't invite me. And I think of that. I think that often. I go, I have no idea why I got invited to this thing. You know, Becky and I've been to stuff, and we're standing around going, what are we doing here? You know, and you have this sort of feeling because to be invited to these things, to come into a banquet like that, you're being, the outside is being brought in. You're being included in an inner circle. You're being included in a more familiar place. Because I'm not regularly in these places, but I'm through the invitation and through the nature of that experience, I'm being brought inside for these people. You know, that's why. You know, when your kids get married, and then when you got married and your parents were putting together the invitation list, you're going, why are these people coming? Why are these people on the list? I've got people that I want to bring on the inside of this that you tell me I can't. And then there are people on this list that got inside the circle that I don't know why they're on that. You see? It's about being brought in. And who do I want to be brought in to the sense, who do I want on the inside of my circle? And the way we make those choices is often the people that get on the inside of my circle are and get brought in on when I do the inviting is the people that benefit me. And that even Willie Geist, and this isn't saying there's anything wrong with Willie Geist's decisions and with Ina Garten's decisions and all the, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with having those kinds of parties, because if you were going to put together a party list and you wanted to have those people, that'd be perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. However, Jesus is using this experience to point us about something about our human nature, is that Martin Short gets invited because of what he brings to me. The French chef gets invited because of what he brings to the table. And Jesus is saying that's often how we operate in life, in a transactional experience where I'm experiencing life and it's what do you bring to me, whereas the gospel, Jesus says, is not what you bring to me, but what can I bring to you? And that shift, that radical cultural shift is you don't think about it. You don't imagine it. Jesus, the thing I love, when you think about all the number of places that Jesus, you know, he's constantly going to the party. He's constantly at parties. I mean, sometimes you get judged in our culture for going to the party, right? Jesus going to parties. He's wedding of Cana, and he brought wine. You know, this party. The Pharisee's party, where he's at the party and she comes in and washes his feet. Remember that one? And opens the perfume and the party with the dinner party with Zacchaeus, because he came down from the tree. And today I will have dinner in your house. You know, the dinner parties, presumably many, with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. The meal with Matthew when he was just getting to know Matthew. Even after his resurrection. He creates a dinner party on the beach for the disciples, and then he meets these guys who are coming out of Jerusalem and on the Emmaus Road. He says he had shared a meal with them, and over a meal he talked about who he was and what they'd seen and sharing with them about the God. Jesus is constantly utilizing because parties are places of opportunity. Dinners and gatherings and being brought in to a more intimate space. Why? Because parties are up and dinners and gatherings are like this, are opportunities. And partly because, here's the thing about a party. Have you ever given this much thought to parties? I don't know if you have. I have. I like to go to parties. I like to go to gatherings. I like to go where people are celebrating, and I'm happy to be brought in on that sort of thing. And here's the thing about being brought in is that once you're brought into a setting, okay, and this is the way we feel it. How transactional it is that we bring people in based on what they bring to us or to the experience to make this a better moment, and then when we get invited to something, we're like, We feel honored. The part of the honor, if you really examine it, is I got included with those people. Isn't that, you know, there have been some things in life, and I'm sure with you, you go, I never thought I got included there, and they included me. Oh my gosh, I'm sitting at the cool kids table, and I never imagined I'd be able to sit at the cool kids table. Isn't this amazing? And then now you're in with the cool kids, and there's a sense of you that's like, this is fantastic. And then the cool kids have another party, you don't get included. Now you think, well, wait a minute, I was included, and now I'm not included. And don't you feel hurt? Don't you feel a little uneasy? And I've had situations with friends, you know, and the wedding you didn't get invited to. How you feel about that? You know, or the graduation party. And this is the season of parties. Graduation parties and beginning of summer parties and vacation parties. I mean, there's, you know, what happens? And all those odd feelings that you have when you don't get included when you thought you should have, or when you do get included and you thought you shouldn't have, that tells you something about your heart. It tells you something about what you're using to give you that sense of identity and place. And Jesus says that this happens at parties. That's why they're opportunistic. That's why, you know, parties and hospitality and being brought in, because our guard comes down at parties. I've been to parties, and the guard comes down. People are drinking the truth serum, and the truth comes out when the filter comes off. and it's great, kind of. But it's a great opportunity. Jesus does most of his, he doesn't preach people into the kingdom. He loves them into the kingdom. And that's why when he gets brought into their lives at these places of intimate, you know, they could have kept him on the outside, but he got included on the inside. And he says, while I'm on the inside, I'm going to find the opportunity. He's teaching people lessons. He uses lessons at the party to teach people about their hearts, to teach them about their need, to teach them about their tendencies, and ultimately to uncover their sense of wanting to be included at some inner circle. And that's an identity issue. Where do I find my sense of confidence, my sense of hope, my sense of vitality and purpose? It's by being included in some sense, by belonging at some level. You know, there's a song written years ago. I don't know why I ran into it. Called At 17, written in the 70s. Thank you. Said the new schooler. That's pretty impressive. Here's what she says. I learned the truth at 17 that love was meant for beauty queens and high school girls with clear skin, smiles who married young and then retired. The Valentines I never knew, the Friday night charades of youth were spent on one more beautiful than at 17 I learned the truth. And those of us who with ravaged faces, lacking in social graces, desperately remained at home, inventing lovers on the phone who called and say, come dance with me, and murmured vague obscenities. Isn't all it seems at 17. Yeah, and what she's saying is, I learned this early in life, obviously it helped her. It gave her some sense of confidence in the process, but this is the transaction of human experience. And what she desperately wanted at 17 was to be included. And we all want to be included. We all want to be a part of that inner circle. And Jesus sees this and knows this happens when the guard comes down at parties, because it's a great opportunity for this to occur. Jesus proved that when we care for people, that the deepest lessons of life often happen in those intimate experiences where people are letting their guard down than through organized religious experiences or through organized academic experiences. They happen at the everyday life experiences where we're eating and drinking and we're singing the songs and we're sharing the moments. This is the deep opportunity that hospitality is, and this is what Jesus proved. And this is why I said it wasn't by accident or by cultural popularity. Jesus intentionally, he was in control of his ministry. He was in control of his life. He's the one who stepped and made an effort to be. It says that his reputation was to hang out, was to be found in the homes of publicans and sinners, to be in the places of being included at the inner circle and to include people on the inner circle. Because parties, he says, are hospitality is a humbling thing. It's a humbling thing. It's a humbling thing because when he's saying that when I include people in my inner circle, not in a transactional way, but in a one-way love fashion, that's humbling. And it puts me off balance. Because now I'm not trying to get something from you by inviting you. I'm trying to provide an opportunity where I can give to you, where I can love you, love toward you, where I can give away, and there's no sense of quid pro quo. There's no, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That's the transaction. There's no sense where, and what the gospel is and what the grace of God in our lives is I'm loving you for your sake, not creating an opportunity where you can love me or I can benefit from your, but Jesus is saying, when you do that, there is a benefit. There is a benefit. When I love you in a one-way fashion, when I love you and you can't repay me, there is benefit. There is a But it's long term. And often doesn't happen until you get to heaven, he says. He says, when you get to heaven, you discover the benefits, you discover the ramifications of that sort of thing. And so your living life, what he's saying is that this kind of gracious hospitality, this kind of one-way love hospitality is a long-term future mind on the kingdom rather than mind on the moment experience. And that's humbling because I got to give it away. I got to give it away. It's also, not only is it not transactional at the level of, it's humbling because I can't get from it what I want from it, and that makes me uncomfortable. It makes me needy. When you don't get something from something that you wanted, what, you're still unsatisfied. When I go to the Chinese food restaurant, and I eat from the buffet, there's the table of desserts, and they look so great. And I don't know if this is your experience, but when I eat those desserts, I go, you know, that's not what I hoped that would taste like. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. It's all wonderful. It's still all very good. It's just when I taste it, I go, oh, well, that wasn't quite what I wanted it to be. And then I go for another one. Same thing, you know? And so you feel this sense of unease, the sense of I didn't get what I wanted, and it's uncomfortable. It's just because I wanted it to be something. And that discomfort makes you want to retreat to a better thing, to fill that discomfort. And that's why we have the parties where we include, where our hospitality is often, we like a little of the transactional. We like a little of the getting forgiving. And I don't think Jesus is saying that it's not wrong that if you're going to get a job and you want to impress the boss and you invite the people, I don't think there's anything wrong necessarily with those sort of things. But if we're getting life from those moments, if that's our general pathway, and we think we're doing something in that transactional way, Jesus is saying that doesn't work. He's the other thing is that, you know, in these party experiences, to not live in that transactional place is and to invite the outsider and the people who are in need, and it makes me feel more needy. But then when I bring all the needy people in, now it's messy. It's a mess. It's all kinds of, you know, if I invite these people, they're just, what do I talk about? What do I do? How do I care for them? And now, am I handicap accessible? It puts us off balance. And there's a sense where when I'm off balance, what's my next? What do I want most when I'm off balance? When you're off balance, what do you want most? I want to be on balance. I want to get back on balance. When you're feeling uneasy, when you're feeling an emptiness with the desserts that you thought were going to taste better and they don't, and you're not getting out of the experience what you want, what do you want? You want to get something out of the experience. And what Jesus is saying is living in that condition, hospitality in the kingdom, the hospitality that Jesus is displaying in his own incarnation, and as he comes, is an uncomfortable process. Jesus came to us as a homeless man. It says of the scriptures that he had no home or place to lay his head. Jesus was homeless. He has no address. I mean, he lived with his parents, but then when he was born, he was born without a home. He was born in a manger. He was born in a stable stall. He was born, you know, and then even as he left home, he was constantly traveling from one place of being welcome to the next place of being welcome to the next place of being invited. This is the nature of Jesus entering our world. And even in Philippians 2, Paul talks about how Jesus did not consider even the equality with God something he could grasp. He was humbled down to the point of being born human, to be born in a stable, to be born and then to suffer death and the death on the cross and to enter the descension of Jesus, the humility of Christ. This is the nature of the gospel. And the power, the reason Paul says that in Philippians and the reason Jesus describes this in this moment is there's power in that surrender. There's power in humility. There's power to change. There's transformative change that's occurring in humility. And not just for the people you invited, but for you. The host, he says, has this issue. He says, he's talking to the host. When you invite people, don't invite them for transactional reasons, because when you invite them for transactional reasons, you're destroying yourself in that regard. And when you invite people who can't pay you back, they're getting something and you're getting something in the off balance, in that moment of you're discovering the neediness. You're discovering your own neediness. You know, I think about that. I've had countless numbers of people tell me in counseling, in casual conversation, a phrase similar to, I just don't want to look so needy. I don't want people to think I'm needy. I get it. But we're desperately trying not to be needy when Jesus says, I'm drawn to needy people. And that's all humanity is needy people. So it's not like I'm sort of, you know, everybody else is needy and I'm the only one that's not and I don't want to be perceived. No, everyone's needy. And when you don't acknowledge your neediness in some particular capacity or at various places in your life, you're absenting yourself from humanity and from the opportunities that Jesus puts in front of us to know him, to engage with him, to find the depth of unity with him. You know, otherwise, if you're not living this process, Jesus is saying, that's the nature of the different parables. He says, you know, about the wedding feast and the person who was self-important, and they sit at the front of the table, and then when the more important person comes, then they get pushed down to the end. He says, if you're not living the humble party hospitality process, you're going to get humiliated anyway. Humility is the process of hospitality regardless. You can go into it acknowledging it or you can be surprised by it. Either way, you're going to discover your neediness. You're going to discover, and that's the nature of hospitality. It's meant to uncover, Jesus is saying, and that's why he did so much of this teaching in the context of these moments, is that we're supposed to uncover our neediness because it is our neediness, it is our sense of not of discovering that I'm not included in the groups that I want to be included in, that Jesus can finally come and say, you know, I'm going to invite you into the most exclusive group that ever there was. It's a group of three. A group of my Father, me, and my Spirit. And I'm going to include you in that group. That's the nature of what the gospel is. The hospitality of the gospel, as Jesus saying, is to the outsider, the needy, the person who isn't included, the person who's trying to find a desperate connection, a sense of belonging, a sense of I'm important because I have or I do or I have. Jesus in the person, in his person, the Father in his plan, the Spirit in his power, draws us and is opening up that community, that center circle to us and saying, come in and be welcomed into this intimate experience with us where you'll never not belong and where I will always know your name and I will always see you and you will never ever not be included in this and this intimate. And when you are in this intimate circle with me, it makes you powerful. It makes you confident. It makes you transforming because your neediness qualifies you here. Your neediness on the horizontal landscape disqualifies you. Nobody wants that needy person who's constantly talking about their struggles or constantly is jabber, jabber, jabber and only sees themselves and all is just such a life suck, such a clingy person. Nobody, that disqualifies you to parties in this world, but to the party that Jesus includes us in, to that intimate circle, he says, your neediness includes you. It qualifies you.
Because everyone, and it is by knowing your neediness, by discovering it and admitting your desperate need of it, he says, you can belong to me. You can belong on this inner circle. And the powerful transformative way that he included us into that party, to that intimate circle, was by being cast out of it at the cross. When he cried out to the Father, who he had never left, never not belonged to, never felt the absence of, and in that moment, he feels his absence. Father, my God, why have you cast me out? It was because that included us in. I think I've told this story before. About a famous college professor named Tony Campolo. He was in Honolulu doing a conference. Honolulu, Hawaii. So, but he teaches on. He was teaching in Philadelphia at the time. He was in Honolulu, and so his world was, you know, life cycle was off. So he was finding himself getting up at like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, because he was on East Coast time. So he said. So he one day he goes down and gets a cup of coffee down at an all night diner. And in the booth he was in, he was sitting in the booth, and behind him was a group of women. They were chatting, and he overheard them chatting about, and the one woman said to the other woman, and he says that, and they looked sort of like they were ladies of the evening. They looked like they were prostitutes, and in terms of his sense of it. And he said, and they were talking, the one woman's name was Agnes, and she says, Agnes, what's going on with you? She said, well, tomorrow's my birthday. And they go, oh, you want us to throw you a party or get you some gifts? You know. And so they laughed, and he heard about that, and then off they go. And so he goes as soon as they left, he went up to the cook who he was back there. He says, do these gals, are they here all the time? He says, oh yeah, they come in here every night. He says, Agnes, the woman there? Oh yeah, she's here about the same time every night. He says, it's her birthday tomorrow. I just found it. It's her birthday tomorrow. He says, do you know her? He says, well, I don't know her. But he says, if I gave you some money, will you make a cake? And I'll bring all the other party stuff. He says, what? He says, yeah, no. Just here's some money. Bake a cake. He says, I'll make a cake. And I'll bring all the stuff. He says, no, mate, I'm not going to do this if you're not. He says, no, I'll be back. I'll be back tomorrow. He says, I'm on East Coast time. I've been getting up. He says, I'll be back tomorrow if they're here at the same time. So he comes back tomorrow. He brought all kinds of decorations and brought some candles. And he had the cake. He says, he put her name on it. Agnes, happy birthday, Agnes. And then he puts the candles on the cake, and it comes out, and then she shows up. I can't remember in the story if he had said something to the women who were there, or whether the cook said something to the women, but apparently dozens of other of her friends had come. And so they had like 40 or 50 people in this diner. And then she shows up, and the cake is there, and they sing happy birthday. And the tears roll down her face. And she says, they say, blow out the candles. And she blows out the candles. And they say, well, let me cut the cake. And she says, I don't want to cut the cake. Do I have to cut the cake? It's so pretty. I just want to take it home. So she takes the cake, and she runs it home. And then everybody's there, and you know, dozens of prostitutes and Tony Campolo and the cook. And Tony says, only thing you knew to do was to say, let's pray. So they prayed. And he prayed for Agnes' birthday, and he prayed for Agnes' life, and that she wouldn't have to live a hard life, and prayed for the ladies that were there. And he says, when everybody's head came up, he says, the mascara was running. And then the cook comes up to him and says, kind of a little edgy, and he says, you didn't tell me you were a preacher. What kind of church
What kind of church are you? Well, are you a part of? He says, and he says the only thing I knew to say is, well, I'm the preacher of the kind of church that throws parties for prostitutes at 2 o'clock in the morning. He says, there's no such church like that. He says, if there were a church like that, I know there's no church like that, because if there were a church like that, I'd belong to it. Yeah. That's the church of Jesus. Parties for people who are on the outside. And with cakes that have your name on it. A place where you belong and never not belong. Because he went on the outside for us. That's the hospitality of the gospel. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the humbling message that we are all in need of you. All on the outside, all crippled, lame, blind, in some way, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and that our ragged faces, weary and lost, Lord, you tell us to come. Come all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and find the rest for our souls in you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.